Rock Football. The Inspirations Paint pre-game interview.
Geelong style, a late change has been pulled. We had been hoping to speak with the CEO, Steve Hocking, but he's been waylaid, I believe, and won't be here with us till a little bit later. So Chief Operating Officer Marcus King has just strolled on in confidently into the K-Rock box. A very good afternoon, Kingy.
Thanks, Kingy. Good to be here.
Too many Kingies.
Well, no, I'm just doing that because apparently you shouldn't use nicknames, according to one broadcaster. Yes. So just we're going with the nicknames here. No, how are you, Marcus? You well?
Going well, yeah. Looking forward to today.
What time did you get the tap on the shoulder that you had to come and talk to us?
About 30 minutes ago. Hock is... I actually don't know where Hock is right now. He was up on the Gold Coast yesterday for our women's team's practice match up there against Gold Coast and had a delay. I think he was sitting on the tarmac for a fair bit, so... He'll get here at some point, but I'm here in between.
Is this a first appearance for you on K-Rock, is it? I reckon we've had you on.
It is. I used to do a bit when I was at AFL with the fixture, yeah. But first time with the Cats.
All right. Just on the fixture, have you got any sneaky suspicion of when we're playing Richmond in round 24?
Well, reasonable sense. I think we end up being Saturday.
Yep.
That's not locked, but we'll find out in the next two or three days. But we're sensing it's Saturday, probably afternoon or twilight, and we're pitching for that because we want it to be a slot where our Geelong-based members and fans can get up and down the highway at a reasonable time.
Talking about members, member thank you day, regional round, 90,000's been cracked and 100,000 well and truly now in the spotlight for 2026.
Yeah, I hope so. We're wrapped with 90,000 and, you know, thanks to all our members out there for supporting the club again. You know, we've had year after year of record membership, and we're on track to break last year's record. But to celebrate 90,000 today is a great result.
And the jumper looks fantastic. Last year it had the club logo on the individual players' jumpers. This year you've just gone with the band with all the club jumpers for all the players. It looks magnificent to see, especially for those of us who follow the local kids coming out of the Falcons and local clubs, to see their jumper on the Geelong jumper looks an absolute treat.
Absolutely, and I reckon it's certainly one of the favourite jumpers for the players because it's an opportunity to celebrate their background and where they played as kids, and yeah, that's a really important part of footy, isn't it? And some of them are local teams, others from, you know, all over the place. So, you know, you've got some Irish players who are celebrating, you know, a bit like you, Reg, celebrating their time in Ireland. And so, yeah, we think it's really a great jumper.
That jumper caused ripples back home. I know it's a lovely gesture here and, like, it means a lot, I'm sure, to the... But, like, genuinely back home, people couldn't believe that, like, all the way over here there was a club still willing to acknowledge roots like that. So it's an awesome initiative.
Yeah.
Marcus, what it consumes for the listeners, what consumes your day? I mean, you think back, the Cats have been near the top of the ladder for the best part of 20 seasons. What do you do during the day?
What do you do?
Yeah. I get asked that a bit.
Is that a bad thing?
What's your goal, handicap?
It's to some extent, it's whatever the club needs at the relevant time. But yeah, clearly on field, we're having some great sustained success over a long period. So that's excellent. Part of my role is to continue to make sure we're providing for our football department and for our players. So, you know, that can be infrastructure as an example. So, you know, how do we make the most of this stadium? Amazing 40,000 capacity stadium. How do we fill it as much as possible? How do we also make sure that this stadium is a stadium for the community as well, and, you know, more events? Commercial is another area that I focus on. So how do we continue to, you know, make the most of the success that the guys have on field?
Is it a difficult job to maximise the success from a financial point of view for a footy club? I mean, Geelong have been, like I said, you know, so good for so long. Is that then a difficult process to continue to build on that year after year?
It can be, but I think you've got to keep finding ways. And it's not all about money either. So, you know, today we've got kids in for free and, we, you know, it's a members thank you round, and that's as important. So the experience that our members and fans have, you know, is as important as the money we make. And ultimately the money that we do make is going back into the facilities and going back into our fans.
What sort of feedback do you get? I mean, I don't know how closely you monitor these things, but from supporters, you mentioned there the Cats you're hoping to play on a Saturday, so that will not be shown live free to air. You'll have to pay for that to actually watch that football game. Now, last night was an absolute cracker, Collingwood Brisbane. Yeah. You couldn't watch it unless you paid for it. Is that something that the fans, do you hear back on along those lines, that they've disgruntled with that situation where Saturday footy is just pay per view?
Oh, we do hear it a bit, and, you know, the AFL has, you know, a response to it, which is somewhat fair enough in that there's the same number of games on free-to-air as there always has been, and yep. So that's true. I think the challenge is when the Thursday and Friday free-to-air games are not of a good quality.
Yeah.
And that's been the case, unfortunately, this year for various reasons. I think if you can get back to those Thursday, Fridays being a really high quality, I think that lessens the concerns about Saturday.
Can I ask you, Marcus, just in regards to, we have had good crowds here this year. Reserve seat holders are a lot of the gap between 30,000 and 40,000. How do we educate? And I know we used to speak with your predecessors about this, the Braith Coxes of the world, about how do we get the members to put their seat back into the pool to get other people into the venue?
Yeah, it's a great question, and it's something that we are very focused on, because, you know, we have games where they're effectively a sellout, but you only get 34 or 35,000 here. And that's a great crowd, it's a great atmosphere, but we want to get closer to 40,000. There's a few things that we're looking at. Part of it's the process for those reserve seat members to put their tickets back into the pool so that someone else can get them. And so there's an education piece around the process. It's also just technology, you know, making sure it's as easy as possible. You know, we also incentivise people to do that. So, you know, members get then cash off their membership for the following year if they return their seats to the pool. I was speaking to someone last night about this, and some people just want to make the decision on the day, and that's, I understand that. They've sort of earned that right in buying those reserve seat members. But we are trying to, you know, encourage more and more this behavioural change, because we just want as many people at the footy as possible.
You're probably also trying to educate an older demographic who have those, who, A, the money perhaps isn't as important to them in terms of putting them back. And I know in the NFL, it's second nature to do that. The stadiums are full, particularly the successful teams, because people, the tickets are just put back into the system all the time. But that's part of their DNA in terms of the way they've done things. We don't do that. And I suppose it's just educating that group that do support the club, but actually then don't put the tickets back in when they're not going to be here.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think behavioural change can take time, and that, you know, some of it is older demographic, but we'll keep working on that. There's also some membership products where the attendance rate is always really strong. So, like, Social Club is an example of that. You walk through Social Club, it is pumping every home match. So how do we expand that and get more people into those areas as well?
The precincts, where are we at? There was talk of master plans. Where are you with the work with Kardinia Park Stadium Trust, but also City of Greater Geelong, in regards to what it looks like beyond the 40,000 seats here?
Yeah, it's a great question, and it's something in my role very active on, and clearly we've got to work very closely with the Trust and with Council and with the other stakeholders in the park to get the most out of this precinct. And that's really what we're trying to do. Our vision is that this precinct is optimised 365 days a year, and it's much more than just Cats home games, male and female. So part of that is, how do we unlock GMHBA Stadium? Mm. So at the moment, the club is so reliant on GMHBA Stadium for training as well as games, and we want to continue that. But how do we invest in some other facilities that allow us alternative places to go? And then that allows the government to have other events here, whether they're community events or they're concerts or Big Bash, whatever it might be. But we want to see this stadium activated more. We're very aligned with the Trust and the Council on that, and the other stakeholders in the park. So how do we do that? Well, we're wanting to invest in the precinct and venues like St Mary's, the Cricket Oval, an indoor training field, multi-purpose indoor facility, where that allows our four programs somewhere else to go when this stadium's being utilised for something else. An example of that is, earlier in the year, you're probably aware, we had an NFL film shot here, and that was 2 weeks where we didn't have access to the ground. Now, we were able to do that because we worked with the Trust and Council and the Cricket Club, and our guys trained on the Cricket Oval as well as Deakin, and we were able to do it for 2 weeks. But at the moment, it's really hard to do that. So how do we make it easier?
Did you get an extra role in that, Marcus?
No, we did have... We had a couple of our staff actually take annual leave to be extras for that week, which was interesting, interesting choice. But no, I was happy to keep my distance.
I want to say congratulations to the Cats, because I know you guys have played a key role in the fact that we'll have the GFNL Grand Final back here on the Friday before AFL Grand Final. And now, it's been a hotly debated topic whether it should be here or not in the local footy community. I'm not sure you're aware of that. But what role have the Cats played, along with the Trust, to... I suspect financially there was a hit for AFL Bowen last year. Have you played a role in sweetening that for it to be a little bit more financially viable for AFL Bowen to be able to have their showpiece event here?
Well, we have. And we met with AFL Barwon and the Trust, and to some extent Council, around how can we make sure that the grand final's here again, you know, both for football and for netball. We from our point of view, we would like to think that event is here every year and that it gets back to 20,000 plus people who are coming. So we understand there's a financial challenge with it, and we helped out financially last year, but it's like, how can we go to another level? So that's things like all of the catering revenue goes to AFL Barwon. And then how else can we help? Well, we've been engaging with our sponsors, particularly those who want to connect with the community, and then how can they sponsor this event to make sure we fill the financial gap? So we are wrapped that the grand final is going to be here, and I'd like to think there's at least 12, maybe 15,000 people.
Yeah. Mark, it's just your backstory for those listening who you're here today representing the Geelong Footy Club. Just your story in terms of getting to that position.
Yeah, my background is as a lawyer, so don't hold that against me. But
a robber in a suit.
Yeah, well, call it what you like. But I was a private practice lawyer for about 5 years and then took an in-house role at the AFL.
Right.
I was in that role at around the time of the Essendon drugs saga. And then spent 8 years at AFL and transitioned away from legal to head up fixturing and broadcasting, and did that for about 5 years, including through COVID. So whenever there was a border that opened or closed or a person got COVID, I was the guy refixturing. We did about 200 fixtures through 2020, and that was just the men's, let alone the women's, and then let alone 2021. But we've got through COVID, and then I'd worked a lot with Steve Hocking in that time. My wife and I and family had moved back down to Geelong. I grew up in Geelong, always a Cats fan. And yeah, Hock and I got talking about potential role. And after 8 years at AFL, it was a good time to move. And I think it's really important to, you know, in this industry to work at a club if you can. And yeah, so Hock and I got talking. I've been here for 3 years.
Did you have any playing background locally at Melbourne or here?
Oh, not strong. I was more of a, put it this way.
You would have been outside.
Yeah.
Reg knows well enough. Yeah, outside operator. I actually played a little bit at Geelong West.
Right.
But I was a much better tennis player than a footy player. And so you get to that age, about 14, 15, where you make a choice, and it was an easy one for
me.
Yeah, finally, before we let you go, from a business point of view, Geelong is renowned across the league, or I certainly knew of it before I came, in terms of how the club is so well integrated. And I'm not sure if this was driven by Hock, but the visibility between corporate guys upstairs and the footy department downstairs. So we see you guys a lot when I was playing. Yeah. You're at games, in there after, down in the cafe. Is that a conscious decision? Is that just part of Geelong's identity as a business?
I think it's both. So my understanding is that was the case, and then through COVID there was a disconnect because there had to be limited number of people in footy. So we have been working on how do you bring that connectivity back. And you know, it's nice to hear you say that, Reg, because I think we're pretty good at that as a club, that, you know, we are one club. And, you know, of course there's going to be people who work in footy and people who work in admin, but how do you have integration as much as possible? So it's conscious, and we're at a club that footy embrace that, and that, you know, not every club is in that boat, so that's something I'm grateful for.
How long have you been here now? Four?
Three.
Three. And you still don't have an office?
Well, no one has an office.
No, but you all work around, don't you?
Yeah.
No, but I mean, your office is basically one of the high tables in blank space.
Well, do you move around like Steve? Steve moves around to departments. Yeah. Do you do the same thing? Yeah,
I do the same. Yeah. And, you know, I think that's led by Hock.
Yeah.
But I love it. I think our staff love it. Yeah. It just means you're so approachable. So if you're sitting at a high table upstairs, you know, anyone can come and see you. If you're doing that down in footy, you can similarly have all these conversations, and there's so much value in those kind of informal corridor conversations. So yeah, I think it's great.
Do you have to measure the distance of the coffee machine depending upon where you're going to be stationed for the week, as long as it's not too far?
Well, as Tom mentioned before, I do try and get down to the cafe for some meetings.
Marcus, we really appreciate you jumping off the bench and having a chat to us. We will catch up with Hock at some stage, but making his way back from the Gold Coast, and good win for the AFLW girls to round out their pre-season. They're back here in, of course, a couple of weeks' time, Saturday, August 16, against North Melbourne, Tasmania, to kick off their campaign. Tickets are on sale for that. We'll give you more info a little bit later. But thank you for joining us. Thanks to Sarah and all the team at the Cats. We appreciate you looking after us there on a Sunday afternoon. What crowd are we expecting?
Mid to high 20s. So. Right,
look forward to it. Should be a good afternoon and a cracking one weather-wise. Good to talk to you.
Thanks for having me.
Good day, Marcus. Thanks, Kenny. Inspirations Paint, Grovedale. K-Rock Football. The Inspirations Paint pre-game interview.